It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Each week, we do our best to bring members from the community who truly embody helping others in need. And I'm so fortunate to have Barbara McCloskey and Nancy Levy here today from the New Jersey State Federation of Women's Club to discuss their outstanding service to the community. Before we talk with them, I hope everyone had a tremendous Christmas this year, and I know New Year's Eve is almost here. So ladies, first of all, good morning. Thank you so much for waking up and joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So ladies, in some of the background information about the Women's Club, I understand that it was started over 125 years ago, and there's now 6,500 members statewide, and there's 175 clubs. In fact, I read there's 80,000 members in the United States as well as throughout the world, and I didn't realize just how big of an organization the Women's Club is. Barbara, maybe you could talk to us a little bit about a little background about who you are and where you're from.
Well, I'm from Rockaway, and I've lived there for 37 years, and I've been in the Denville Rockaway Club for 32 years. And right now I'm the state membership chairman, so although I do a lot of things for my club and in the local community, I'm also involved with overseeing all of the clubs in the entire state.
Okay, well, that sounds like a huge responsibility. And Nancy Levy, where are you from, Nancy?
I'm originally from St. Louis, and I moved here in 81, and I've been married for 38 years, and I live in Rockaway now also.
So both of you ladies are from Rockaway, right here in Morris County. Mm-hmm. So Barbara, how did you get involved with the Women's Club? Because obviously I know there's so many different charitable things people can get involved in. And why the Women's Club? What started that over 32 years ago?
When my son was born 32 years ago, I was lucky enough to be able to stay home. And I was trying to find some kind of organization. I've always wanted to volunteer in some capacity. And the Women's Club had signs up all over town. And I liked the fact that we're not just one focus, that we can pick and choose different projects we can work on. So even if you're interested in animal projects or battered women shelters, that you can do all those different projects with women who are like-minded and are interested in different projects, and that we can make a difference as a whole and not just with one project in mind.
So was it something that you just decided after, you know, obviously being blessed with the birth of your son, that you wanted just to start to be involved in something local and charitable?
Well, I've always wanted to do something volunteer-wise, but I worked in New York and I got home late at night, and there really wasn't time, I felt, to focus on that. But I've been very, very fortunate that the club, there's a lot of flexibility in belonging to a women's club, and I've been working full-time now for 17 years, and I've been able to combine my volunteer world, which I almost do full-time, and my job. So I felt that being able to belong to an organization that offered flexibility was something that was good for me and for my family.
And what about, you, Nancy, from your perspective? I know you also, ironically, have both been involved about the same amount of years, which is over three decades, 32 years, and that's a huge commitment. What was the genesis for you, Nancy? Is there anything that, you know, you decided, I want to start being involved and giving back?
Well, we had, I had still kind of new to the area. We had been here for 4 years, moved into a house, and, you know, I knew some people, but I didn't know that many, and I wanted to meet people, you know, maybe get involved in the community. And a friend of mine said, oh, I belong to this club. And so I came to the first meeting, and I'm like, ooh, this is exciting. And I did jump in with both feet. You know, they thought I was funny because I raised my hand every time the president said some particular subject. Could you explain that? Could you explain that? So I became a department chairman, as it were, right away at the first meeting. And I just liked the fact that we could do various things, we could work on whatever projects we wanted, and I was doing something that I felt was meaningful in the community.
So, Barbara, in terms of being involved in the community, because that's really the underpinning of the show, is just really good local people giving back, was there anything that you could point to in your life, either a parent or friend or something you saw that made you decide that, you know, it was time, the time was right to start to help others?
Well, my father was a volunteer with the Power Squadron for many years. He was a commander, and he ran their education programs, and my mother was very involved with the temple and being a volunteer. So I did get a lot from growing up with my parents, but there was just something about me, reading things in the paper, looking around, and that I felt that a need. I really feel a need and a passion that I need to help people, and I still feel that same passion all these years later. So just the fact that I saw those signs up there, and I'm like, I'm going to try something different. And again, it's not that I didn't want to help the animal shelters or the battered women's shelters. I wanted to be able to have a diversity of different projects to be able to support. And then those I was able to bring to the club and say, hey, let's do this project, let's do that project. And I had all these women to support me that we could do these projects together.
Okay, and Nancy, from your perspective, looking back, I don't know if there was a catalyst or just you're new in the area and you want to develop some new friendships. Was there anything that inside just inspired you to say, this is a good fit for myself?
Well, I just thought it would be nice to do things for the community. That's not something when I was in my teens and early 20s that was a focus for me. And I thought, you know, this sounds like a nice thing. And I've got these women that I know are becoming, you know, starting to know. And we could do something together. So I thought that was nice.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I know for myself, I was telling the ladies before we started with Special Olympics. It was just something I saw on TV and it hit me in the heart. And I'm like, I want to get involved. And it's been a wonderful journey. I've been blessed to have great friends as a result for over 20 years doing that and coming in contact with amazing people. And I realized the friendships that you develop are, you know, vitally important as well. In terms, ladies, of your involvement with the club, so, you know, I was telling my wife I was going to be doing the show today, and we live in Mendham, and she was involved for a number of years with the Junior Club of Mendham, and maybe, Nancy, you could speak to that. What's the relationship between the Women's Club and the juniors in the various townships in the county?
Well, Junior Women's Clubs they're part of our same federation. Okay, so the state has clubs, junior clubs, and women's clubs are all the same organization. Back in the 50s, I believe it was, the daughters of women's club members wanted to do service work also, but maybe their interests weren't the same as what their mothers had. So there was a junior department formed, and, you know, it was younger women, and their focus was more on projects with their kids or projects for children, etc., and not exclusively, certainly, but that was why the junior women's clubs were formed. Now, we're still all one federation, but we get all the same information. There are still junior women's clubs. There's no necessarily an age restriction or anything like that. We all work on the same thing, but maybe if you're wanting to join a club and you're in your 30s, you might want to look for a junior club as opposed to a women's club, which may be a little bit older women, 50s, whatever. However, we have so many clubs throughout the state that you could easily find a club that would fit you. Doesn't have to be a junior women's club. You know, our particular club that Barbara and I belong to has a large age range, and so we work on all kinds of projects.
Right, and Barbara, from your perspective with the interplay between the juniors and the women's club, I'm 56, so I'm sensitive to this subject between the younger folks and maybe getting a little bit older. But have you also seen that evolution too, Barbara, in terms of the juniors and how that interacts with the women's club in general?
Well, we're trying to have all the women's clubs be considered as one unit now that they've part of us, because their interests can be very similar. And as the women's clubs per se are aging, we need younger women to be part of what we're doing and to do projects that relate. So we would hope that everybody would do similar projects and that it wouldn't matter that junior women's clubs had children. They're all considered women's clubs. So you could do children's projects no matter what age you are. Our spelling bee is a perfect example of that, and working in the school. So I would say we should all be considered as one organization and one group of women that all are doing similar or the same things.
Right. You know, Nancy touched on something, is for especially folks new to the communities, wherever you might be coming from. Obviously, Nancy came from St. Louis, and this was a great way to make new friends and be involved in the community. I know I was also talking to my paralegal, Stacy, earlier this morning. We were talking about the juniors and about how great it was from a socialization standpoint, because you meet new friends and you're helping the community out. And especially if you're new and you're not really sure who your friends are going to be and you're like, am I going to have any friends? It's a great way to give back and meet new people as well. So I think that's very laudable, the organization and what you guys stand for. One of the things also, and maybe Barbara, you can touch on this for folks that are involved with work and also doing this volunteerism, and the balance. How do you find that happy medium? Because you've been involved over 32 years and you have a family and you have commitments with that and you got work and you got a husband, you got a lot of things going on. How do you balance it?
Well, fortunately, there's a lot of flexibility in most of the clubs that you can pick and choose projects that you have time for. Of course, now with email, we can keep in touch with everybody with newsletters and correspondence of what's happening. And if you pick a project that you feel strongly about, you don't necessarily have to participate in other projects, but at least you would know what's going on. There's a lot of socialization going on. We have a lot of 7:30 breakfasts. We have people go out to dinner together. So to be able to pick and choose those types of things are really important. And most clubs have an agenda or make up a schedule even up to 6 months in advance of what's happening at their meetings, if they're having speakers, so people can plan around what the club is doing, if they're having a fundraiser, so people know ahead of time how to pick and choose and to mix in their life with their children or with work. And that's how I do it. I have a calendar with that I put everything down and that's going on, and then I pick and choose what fits into my schedule.
And the same thing for you, Nancy. I mean, how do you balance between your obligations to your family and also obviously wanting to give back to this great organization? How do you find the best way to kind of balance both?
Like Barbara, I have everything on my calendar. And the nice thing is our club has gotten relatively large over the last 5-6 years. And there's a lot going on. And there are some things I'm like, boy, I would love to do that, but I have this familial obligation or whatever. But on any given week, we have at least two projects that, you know, culmination might be, here's an event or something that I would like to participate in, whether it be a social or a service-related project. But you just do what you feel really interested in, really passionate about. And, you know, and my husband, someone has said, oh, he knows how to take good phone messages.
All right, so you have a great team, obviously, behind you as well. That's really important. Now, which chapter are you ladies kind of been putting all these years into?
Our club is a Denver Rockaway area women's club. So you do not have to live in Denver or Rockaway to be part of the club. But a lot of our focus is on supporting our local community. But we do a lot of other projects that support the county and even the state. So there is about 27 clubs in the Highlands District, which we belong to. And we partner with other clubs or we do things together in district functions. So you have the opportunity to do projects in your own club or projects that are either district-wide or statewide.
So in terms of the growth of the Denver Rockaway chapter, let's say, how many members are there right now?
We have 56 members, and we had been down to the low 20s for a while. And in 1999, Nancy and I actually started having meetings in the evening because we found that we wanted to try to attract some younger women or women, you know, who are different than who couldn't come during the day. So that's been really, for us, has been a wonderful addition that we have a day and an evening meeting that people can switch off and on to or can go to both meetings. And that's really helped increase the club membership.
That's wonderful. I mean, obviously, I know organizations are always going. They have more or less. And obviously, one of the concerns is if the membership dwindles too low, you can't really meet all the mission's objectives. Ladies, for people listening right now or tuning in throughout the entire show, if they wanted to reach out to you, ladies, and let's say come to a meeting and see if it's for them, how would they go about contacting you?
Well, our club's website, we have a website, but our email is gfwcdenrock@gmail.com. You can go on the njsfwc.org website and look for clubs. There's a list of all the clubs and contact information. Or you can email membership@njsfwc.org, and that would come directly to me, and I could direct you to a club in your area.
Right. So, for example, if a listener somewhere in this great county of Morris is listening, and maybe they don't live that close to the Rockaway Denville location, and they could find, a town close to where they live or in their town themselves, in the town they live in, they can contact the websites you just outlined, and they can get in contact with the right people.
Yes, all the clubs are listed on the website. And if the club doesn't have a website to link to, you can either call our headquarters building or email us, and we would direct you to a club in your area.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on, because I think this is great, that you had membership, unfortunately, down to 23. You're back up to 56, which I think for a lot of various clubs listening, that would be quite a lofty goal to, more than double the membership. Nancy, anything, I know we talked about obviously having nighttime meetings, which is certainly helpful for folks that working or other daycare issues or whatever might be going on in their lives. Is there other things that you think you've done that has also been instrumental in bringing up that membership to a very robust 56 members for the Denville Rockaway chapter?
Well, in going back to Barb's point on in 1999, we had been having day meetings, and they had been dwindling the amount of people. And when we started our night group, we were having two meetings with the same agenda. At the time, she was president, and she was not working during, she could get off the day, so she would run both meetings. Now we would have co-presidents, one presides over the day meeting, one presides over the night, but the agenda is the same, so that if you have to have a doctor's appointment and have to go to the other meeting that month, you're not really going to miss anything.
Also, because we've been reaching out to different people, we've done a lot more advertising and social to the public to try to find people, which is really the whole issue of the entire state federation. Which is one of my goals as membership state chairman, is to try to reach out to women who may be interested in volunteering and don't know where to go or where to look for volunteer opportunities. And a lot of people now don't seem to want to commit to a club or an organization. They don't mind donating to a charity or like if we have a drop-off site at the ShopRite to collect food, people love to give to food, but they don't want to commit to something specific. And we find that by having day and night meetings and a lot of variety of things, that people can still volunteer and come to our meetings, socialize, but pick and choose what's good for them, and they don't have to feel like they're making such a commitment. And a lot of recently retired women have been, even though we would like younger women than that, recently retired women really seem to be looking for something. And even though people nowadays who are retired are traveling and are very busy with grandchildren, we're really glad that they could find time for what we believe in and to do projects that affect their children and affect different ages. And I think that's what's attracting women now back to women's clubs.
One of the things that also worked well was, with our club, because we have so many different projects, one of the things that attracted members and got our membership up was we do different things. We would advertise, whether it be press releases in the paper or back in the earlier days, it wasn't, Facebook and stuff. But you don't have to go to the meeting to see what's going on. You could come to a social function. And if, I like the women, I like what they're doing, come to a meeting. See what's going on, and word of mouth. If you belong to a club that you enjoy doing what they're doing, then you tell your friends, and they say, "Oh, okay, let's try this out." So that's one of the ways we really increased our membership.
Yeah, you touched on social media. Now, I mean, a lot of organizations have to just have a robust website to attract people to check it out and see if there's something they might be interested in. Ladies, why don't we talk a little bit about the various programs for the listeners, just to get a little taste on the different things that the women's clubs do offer here in New Jersey in terms of the different things you do. So maybe, Barbara, you could speak, and then Nancy, on some of the different things you have been involved in over the last few years.
Well, locally, one of the big projects we have are wish trees around Denville and Rockaway that we put up trees, and we work with social services for items that families would either need or want. And we put up trees with tickets on them to say what people are interested in. And then the community can get involved. And that's something that's been really important for us is that the community knows what we're doing. And we have a sign that says that we're collecting for local families. And I think that's been one great project. We've been doing this, I don't know, 30 years that we've been doing Wish Trees and collecting hundreds and hundreds of gifts for families locally and also for family intervention, for Roots and Wings, a battered women's shelter we add on there. So the crisis center in Booton. And then our other big project that we started was back to school supplies that we collect in August to support the local families. And it actually, then it goes out to Morris County. But to have the people in the community be so involved with our collections, hair salons, and the libraries, to have so many different places that we can put our collection sites that the community can participate in and that we can feel when I bring those books, those children's supplies to schools, or the 40,000 books, children's like new and new books we've collected over the years, when you see the faces of the people you're donating to, I mean, it just makes me want to do even more and be more involved. And the just those little bit of things that to us, you know, it's not a big deal. My kids could afford back to school supplies, but a lot of people can't afford that. And to see how the churches and the communities have supported us and do it as a group effort is so rewarding.
That's another nice thing is we partner with many other organizations, whether it be another women's club locally or women's clubs across the state working on one thing. But, you know, one of our projects that our club does twice a year is we work with a local gym. We have health-related fundraisers, either kickboxing or sometimes Zumba. Recently, it was a spin class. We do one in October for breast cancer awareness. It's a fundraiser. People that come to the class pay an amount, and that goes to Reach to Recovery, which is a breast cancer support group. We do one for Heart Month in February for... organization.
Well, it's a Women's Heart
Association. Women's Heart Association. So we can do health-related projects. We do military aid. This year we did stockings. How many did you say?
Yeah, the state cult women donated 2,300 filled stockings for a Yellow Ribbon organization that they were going to send overseas. But we've been doing that for 10 years. It's a state organization, a state project that all the clubs work on and fill the stockings for. So that's something we can do as a group and make a difference. And then you say, wow, 2,300 stockings is just amazing.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Thank you again for tuning back in. I have Barbara McCloskey and Nancy Levy from the New Jersey State Federation Women's Club, the Denville Rockaway chapter, and we're in the middle of a great conversation. So, ladies, I was just touching on the various things that the organization does to help the community. I know we were just talking about CASA. What about this Girls Career Institute? What is that all about?
Girls Career Institute, which is GCI, was started over 70 years ago, and it is a leadership program that girls all over New Jersey could spend 4 days and a college experience. And the New Jersey State Federation of Women's Clubs actually founded Douglas College in 1918, and our headquarters is located on that campus. So the girls spend, about 200 girls spend a 4-day college experience every year. They live in the dorms. They get to use the facilities. They eat in the cafeteria. And we find women leaders in the community, judges. We've had pilots and other different types of backgrounds to give workshops to the girls so they could kind of find out maybe what kind of interest they might have for college. And they get to commiserate with each other and get to spend time. They don't know the person, the girl that they're in the room with, that they get to meet. And the experiences, they say, last for years and years. And I went to one of their dinners and their programs. And the friendships and camaraderie that you see after these girls only know each other 2 or 2.5 days is absolutely amazing. And they're all high school juniors. And it's been a wonderful experience. And it's all run by volunteer women from women's clubs, the nurse and all the people that are there, all volunteers, and spend the 4 days with the girls.
One of the nice things is our club tries to have the two girls that we sponsor come back and speak to us afterwards at a meeting, and they all say the same thing. Oh, I was nervous. I wasn't going to know anybody. Oh, now that I've gone, you know, we're Facebook friends and we call each other, and it was a great experience and the speakers were wonderful. The girls really do enjoy it and appreciate it. So it's a very worthwhile thing that we do.
Yeah, I think it's critically important. I remember when I was a young guy, you know, getting out of high school, going to go to college, and, you know, it's an eye-opener, you know, especially to be away from the home, and you're not sure which way's up. So I think it's great to get the kids involved early, just get a little taste of it. What's the Women's Club's involvement with Douglas College? I was doing some research. What's that all about, ladies?
Well, the Women's Club's actually founded Douglas College. They felt they wanted to have an all-women's university or college, and they raised money and went door to door and to start the college and the university. And we have raised over $1 million in the form of scholarships and donations for buildings over the years. And we still give fellowships to women who go there. So we have a very big partnership with Douglas alumni. And it's really made for a wonderful thing to be able to work with an organization or work with the college that way. And our headquarters is located on the Douglas campus.
Now, what about the public libraries? I was doing some little additional background in terms of the Women's Club involvement with public libraries.
Well, the Women's Clubs, it's been noted, this is for GFWC, for the General Federation, that Women's Clubs were 75% of all libraries were actually founded by Women's Clubs. And our Denville Library was founded by our club. Many years ago, the women walked door-to-door collecting books and funds to start the library. And you'll see many local libraries with plaques on the door. I know I've seen it in Hackettstown, that they were started by local Women's Clubs. And literary books and that type of thing is very important in general. Women give many scholarships to students, work with children in schools, and literacy is one of our very important projects. And it's one of our grand initiatives right now is to collect Dr. Seuss books USA country-wise right now.
I'm blessed with two young boys. We love Dr. Seuss. A little plug for the good Dr. Seuss. It's they're great. They're easy to read, and the kids actually seem interested in learning about it. I also wanted to ask you about this Shining Future campaign. What is that about, ladies?
Well, the Shining Future campaign was started because we want to continue into the 21st century of supporting all the different fellowships, organizations, and other buildings and things that we started over the last 125 years. And we never really have gone to the public to raise money for these things because we had 40,000 women at one time that belonged to women's clubs. And now that we're down to less than 7,000, we're not raising the same kind of money that we were before, but we want to support all of the other organizations, all the, like I said, the fellowships and the places that have been part of our organization for so many years. So we've been reaching out to the public that we haven't done before and to businesses and corporations to try to support what our, as the state federation goes. Like the local clubs do a wonderful job for their towns and their communities, but we would like people to support more of what's in the bigger picture. For example, the Green Book Sanctuary in Alpine is a 165-acre woodland preserve on top of the Palisades, and it's managed and maintained by members of the Palisades Nature Association, but our funds are used to support this mission. So there's a lot of other outside organizations that we would like to be part of what we do and to partner with us. Where we give back to so much, we would like people to help us with what our goals are.
Nancy, the Women of Achievement Award, are you familiar with that as well?
Actually, Barbara knows more about that, being higher up on the state level. Do you have?
Yes, I do. The Women of Achievement Award was started in 1981 and is co-sponsored by Douglas Residential College. And we give awards to women from across the state who've contributed with personal activities and volunteer work. So, and some past recipients have been Millicent Fenwick, Governor Christine Tom Whitman, and Vivian Stringer from Rutgers. So we try to find women who have accomplished things. Even it could be even women in our women's clubs. It doesn't have to be famous people, but we do about 6 women a year. We at our convention every year that we honor them for their achievements.
They speak after one of our banquets. They have the six women speak for 10-15 minutes, and it's really amazing to think about how much work each individual woman has done. And there's no specific focus. You know, one woman worked well with this organization or formed a group to help children. You know, I can't remember anything specific, but you hear them speak and you're just amazed at how much they have accomplished.
Well, yeah, I could tell from the you know, what Barbara just read off, these are some extraordinary women who have really lifted the entire state and really the whole country in their outstanding work as well. So both of you ladies, I understand, have served as president of the local Denville Rockaway Women's Club. Am I correct?
Yes. Actually, we originally both belonged to the Junior Women's Club in Denville and Rockaway. And we were both president, not at the same time. And then moved on to the women's club, and then, you know, I was president, Barbara was president. It's an interesting experience. It's basically your focus as president is to, you know, you work on the agenda with club input, you figure out what projects you're going to do, you kind of guide the discussion and, you know, keep track of what's going on. And what emphasis your club wants to have in specific areas or whatever.
Yeah, you know, interesting. I know, obviously, if you ascend to becoming the president of any organization, you have to assimilate a lot of different ideas, personalities. You want to make sure everybody feels involved, but ultimately you have to provide direction. And I'm assuming at times, as much as doing great work, it could become a thankless job as well, trying to make everybody happy. I don't know if you guys, you know, could commiserate with that general statement.
Yes. Well, the other thing that a president really needs to do is you just have to make sure that all members' viewpoints are heard. You know, if someone can't railroad their ideas through and everyone says, okay, whatever, you have to make sure that the give and take and, you know, both sides, if there's an issue that has two points, you know, get to have input. So.
Right. And Barbara, what about your perspective on that?
Well, it's funny because my goal was never to be president when I joined the club. And when I started to see how I liked being part of the big picture and how I can help to make decisions and to form the ways things are going, and I really enjoy interacting with people, there are times where personalities can come into play and there can be difficulties. And I'm not saying it's not always fun and games, but the overall way of making decisions and helping the club run. And you have a board with you and people to help you along the way. You're not just doing it alone. And it is a group effort. I mean, everybody is part of what happens in a club. And I found that I really enjoyed being able to be part of what the bigger picture was, which is why I've moved up in the different positions along the way besides being in the club. But I was president for 4 terms and realized that you need other people to step up and other people to make decisions, because it shouldn't be just one person who it appears that it is in charge or making all the rules. It is a group effort and a group that makes all of the things happen in a club.
Yeah, you know, I wanted not to put you ladies on the hot spot there, but it's always interesting when I bring people on, great people like you ladies that are involved in an organization and just trying to manage it all, not just with your family, personal, and work life, but also just the organization itself, because you can get pulled in many directions. I'm involved in the 200 Club of Morris County. We have great leadership and, you know, every 2 years we have a new president and we have robust discussions about the responsibilities and everybody's got to be involved. But also for the health of a great charitable organization, you need new, fresh people coming in with new ideas. And I think it helps make the organization even stronger. Ladies, one of the things that, you know, why it's great to have you is you are involved in the community for over 30 years. How do you think the volunteers help the community in general and then in specifics? Maybe, Nancy, you want to talk about that?
Well,
yeah, sure. Barbara, anything that jumps out to you about how volunteers lift a community and maybe some specific examples that you've seen?
Well, sometimes I think that the people who volunteer are the ones who get the enjoyment and satisfaction. Like, just for me to see the people's faces when things have been donated to them or that make things better for them. I don't know. There's something about that. I have a need to help people. And sometimes people don't realize they even need all of that help or that support, or they don't look for it. And just the satisfaction that we all get. I mean, when we all sit and talk to each other, when you see the excitement on people's faces in the club and people that we're supporting, just really makes you feel like you're doing the right thing. And years ago, we were helping foster families of Morris County. We did a holiday party for them. And I didn't think much of that I was doing this, you know, so special. But to see the 200 people there and the kids excited that we were able to bring small trees and bring gifts and make food for them. And then to be thanked. I wasn't there to be thanked. But the people are so thankful that other people think of them that it just makes you feel so great. And, you know, we all, like I said, we don't do this to be thanked or to say, wow, how great job you did. We do this because it comes from our heart. And that's one thing I think that volunteers all feel. If you look at the Facebook pages on our NJSFWC Facebook page of all the clubs and what they do, and you see what people do and the passion and the excitement that they get from volunteering, it's just amazing to me. And it never grows old about how the individuals feel that they are really making a difference in helping people.
Nancy, any comments, thoughts on that?
Well, something Barb mentioned brought to mind. We have a conference every fall, a statewide conference, and they often bring speakers from, let's say, this past one was from our state project, CASA. And first, CASA speaks, the representative that works for CASA of New Jersey. Then they would have one or two former foster children who are now adults, and to talk about the difference that CASA has made and our organization working with CASA. Because in addition to just funds, we will collect, this summer we as a state, and our club of course did too, beach towels for the kids so that when they go someplace during the summer, they got a new beach towel, or things that kids in foster care don't necessarily get. So, you know, it's so nice to see people that we help who really appreciate it. And like Barbara says, we don't look for the kids to go, ooh, thank you. It's very heartwarming to see this. You know, when.
Right. So, ladies, you know, one of the things that I think is beautiful, especially, you know, what you guys have done over the last 32 years and ongoing is the passion I hear in both of your voices. You know, people that have been involved in an organization sometimes get burnt out. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, life happens, you beat over that a little bit, and you lose your interest. But you guys have somehow been able to keep that spirit, that passion to help others over 32 years. Any ideas how that just has stayed ignited over these many years?
Well, one thing with me is that when I was various times in the club, if I was doing the same project over and over, say something that I would be the chairman of, you kind of get burned out. The nice thing is we've got so many projects going on. New projects come down the pike from, you know, from our state organization. And so you start doing something a little different. If you do the same thing all the time, yes, you do get the burnout. And I have actually kind of felt that sometimes. But I switch to another project, another emphasis area, and that's really what keeps me going.
How about you, Barbara? What's your perspective, since obviously you've been involved so long as well?
Well, I feel the same way. And it was hard for me to move up to a state position because I felt like I needed to work in helping the local community. And again, I like to change projects also and to do different things. But I felt that looking at it from an administrative point now, and that's why it's not that it's burnout at all. I have more passion and more enthusiasm as I move myself up the ranks of the organization, because I still feel very strongly about helping people, but in a different way. And I think that's what's helped me is moving up to district and state positions, is to keep me passionate and involved. I felt very strongly about the local level, but I felt that now, after all these years, that my skills could be more useful in a different direction.
So, ladies, I have a question. I'm trying to visualize, you know, let's say one of the listeners is, you know, tuning in today, and they may have had a friend in the women's club, or they heard about the women's club, or they just somehow we're like, I want to try something new. You know, it's 2020 coming up, and I want to try something different. How would they reach you, ladies, and the organization again, please?
Our website is njsfwc.org, and then you can click on the club section and find a club in your area. You can email membership at njsfwc.org, or you can email our club directly, gfwcdenrock@gmail.com.
I gave you, I put you on the spot, Barbara. You're doing quite well getting those websites out there. That's a number of tongue twisters. Ladies, I also want to talk about, you know, it seems like you have a special bond, you ladies, you know. You went through the juniors and then you got into the women's club, which is all part of the same organization we learned today. But how about the friendship you guys share? You know, I think it's a beautiful thing. And I don't know, I get caught up maybe in the holiday spirit, but I think there's something magical about friendships, you know, that you develop of people you never knew. And all of a sudden, you look back 32 years strong now.
Well, interestingly, too, in addition to the local friendships, I'll touch on that in a minute, too. But because we both travel around the state and meet other women's club members, go to our convention, our conferences, etc. I have three women that live in other parts of the state. Two have now moved to Florida. We go back to Florida or Disney like every couple of years, and the only way I would have known them was from this organization. Barbara and I, we wouldn't have run into each other, you know, on the street, certainly. And our friendship has definitely grown. In the beginning, you know, we said hi, we talked, whatever. Now it's like lunch or our families, her husband and my husband, we all get together for dinner and stuff. And so, yes, you make those friendships over the course of years, and it's really rewarding. Certainly what I was looking for when I moved here from St. Louis and tried to find some friends, so.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that I think is critically important for the listeners is the relationships you built, being in any organization, whatever, you know, turns you on. You know, I had the great honor of having Gary Lynch, Captain Lynch of the Mendham, you know, Borough Fire Department. And some people would go to the station and fire station and maybe want to be involved and just realize it wasn't for them. People could be involved in the 200 Club of Morris County or the Interfaith Food Pantry or, you know, Salvation Army or whatever organization, Special Olympics, whatever you're into. But you should step forward and at least try it and see if it's for you, right?
The other thing about our clubs also is if you go to a club and you go to a meeting and it just isn't a good fit, you know, don't give up. There might be another club locally that you could find, or if you do decide to stick it out but you'd like a particular project, bring it up to the club president and see if maybe the club would embrace it. So, you know, if it's not a good fit, keep looking.
Yeah, I had a question that, you know, we touched on a little bit. Is the synergy between the juniors and the women's club itself? Because it seems to me like that's a natural, right? As folks have been involved a number of years or getting, you know, maybe up, not old, but, you know, that relationship, is there ever meetings where it's both the women's club and the juniors together? Has there been discussions or doing that?
Well, certainly now that the junior women's clubs don't have a separate board of directors or board per se, all the things are combined. We have our convention that runs for 4 days in May, and there are day meetings, but there are also evening banquets. So juniors, when they were, you know, actively younger women, they tended to work. So they couldn't make a lot of the women's clubs thing. Now we have things sometimes on the weekends, evening meetings. So yes, and the projects that are suggested to clubs are all the same for all the clubs, whether they call themselves, you know, Mendham Junior Women's Club or, you know, Mendham Women's Club.
Any thoughts on that, Barbara?
Well, we feel all of the clubs are part of the same organization. So we don't really divide them anymore that they're separate from us. They're all together and we do work together. And the clubs that are in that have, like, Long Valley has juniors, juniorettes. We have girls 13 to 18. And so we have all different groups, but everybody can work on the same things, work together, partner with each other. So we don't consider anybody separate. We all consider everybody as one organization, and we try to work that way.
Yeah, it seems to me like one great, beautiful family helping the community out. Ladies, before we kind of conclude this wonderful discussion this morning, you want to just outline what the present needs of the organization are, what you guys, you know, feel that you might need going forward?
I don't know if it's much of a need is that we'd like to find new members, because the clubs that are active and are busy are doing their projects and their commitments and what they do for the community. I think we're really looking for members, and women shouldn't feel that, oh, it's a women's club, and you know, the old days where women wore hats and gloves, which they did, but the passion and enthusiasm and the friendships we bring, I would love to find women to come and to try that, and they need to socialize, because some of our meetings can be very overwhelming with an agenda and what we do and all the activities. So please come out and do it. Come to a social event, come. And if you see a lot of the clubs advertise programs at their meetings, and or we have fundraisers, try to attend some of those things. And when you meet some of the women in the clubs, you'll find it hard to turn away from them, because that passion and enthusiasm is throughout the state.
And your perspective, Nancy?
Well, the nice thing, our local club, we always say when people come, because we have a lot going on now, especially with 55 members, you don't have to get involved in everything or even most things. Start slow, pick a few things you like, you know, see what interests you. And that's the advantage of a women's club over a specifically targeted organization, is that we do all kinds of things. Children, senior citizens, conservation, education. And, you know, if one of those is your passion, come to a club, find a couple of those types of projects and work on them. So
one of the things that, you know, I try to touch on each week is how you set an example as best you can as a parent, or, you know, just going through life trying to lend a hand up and hopefully lead by example. No one's perfect, but you try to help out. Have you seen any, you know, mother-daughter thing where the daughter followed in the mother's footsteps? Are you seeing some of that as well at this point?
Actually, there's a woman who's also on the board of directors with Barbara, whose daughter was, she's in I belong to a different club with the same organization elsewhere. And her daughter was a juniorette when she was like 13 or something like that. Now she is in the women's club that this woman, Shirley, and I are in together. We meet in South Plainfield once a month. So her daughter has gone from juniorettes to juniors, from juniorettes to women's club, and she's now in the women's club that her mother is also in. So, yeah, that does work.
Well, we had a mother in our own club, Nan Amato, whose both daughters joined the clubs, and since she has retired after 50 years, her daughter has stayed in the club with us and continues to be an active member. So I think there are a lot of mother-daughter relationships there, and hopefully my daughter will be involved very shortly as well.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, I had the great fortune, I got to know the Nisavachias over the years, wonderful people. It's the father been given back over half a century, and his son, I call him Sweet Lou, is doing remarkable things. And I think a lot of it has to do with just watching his dad just give back, not to get the pat on the back, just being good people, helping others. And when I was listening to what Lou was doing, I'm like, you know, that's another example. The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. And as I'm going through my life and thinking about things, how people touch lives in many different ways, you know, we had the D'Amicos on, Christopher and Laura D'Amico, beautiful, wonderful people. Despite so much adversity and such heartache, unspeakable tragedy, they started this Kindness for Christopher movement. It's touched my heart and probably all the listeners. And it talked about, you know, Chris was talking about the ripple effect. If you do something nice for someone, you have no idea what impact it has on their lives. Similarly, what you're doing, I mean, you talked about all the things you're doing in the community to lift up folks, right? That, you know, you're getting so much out of it, but also the community's benefiting, which I think is a wonderful, beautiful thing to do. Is there any other parting advice you want to get, not to pontificate, ladies, but just folks that are listening today and, you know, any other things you would think of that you would tell them about, you know, the experience you've had over the last 30 plus years?
I would just say that if you're looking for friendship and people with common interests, that this is definitely a place to go. And out of 50 people, you're going to find at least half the women who are interested in what you're doing. And if you could see how much we all socialize with people from our club, from our district, and all over the state, it would be amazing. When you go to a convention with 500 women and everyone has that passion, no matter where you sit, that person is enthusiastic and can't wait to tell you about the projects that their club is doing. And that you can't take, that is something that is it's been going on for years, and I look forward to that for many more.
And Nancy?
Yes, what Barbara said as far as like the friendships and that you make, it's worthwhile. If you come to a meeting, you know, you will probably find a niche for you, and it will definitely be worthwhile. You'll really like it.
Well, ladies, I want to just once again thank you so much. You're both extraordinary people. Sharing this Sunday morning with you right on the eve of a new year. New Year's Eve is coming up shortly, and we've had Christmas and Hanukkah, and this is a magical time of the year for all of us. It just means the world that you guys truly embody what I started the show about, which is giving back and doing the right thing. Not that you're looking for the attention, just being good people, being good citizens, helping all of us, because I do believe we're all in this together. You know, I recently started the Leonard Foundation. The mission is to help kids and families battling pediatric cancer, helping social services. I lost my dad to pancreatic cancer, and, you know, I wanted to help others sadly going through that. If you want to help us in that battle and fight, visit leonardcharity.org and please donate. The other thoughts are we're almost here at New Year's, and everybody makes resolutions. I know we're caught up in the excitement, you're planning a party, whatever it might be, and obviously do that very responsibly. But also I think as a resolution, we should all work together to try to be better folks, to give as much as you can to help others in need. A kind word of encouragement, just a nice gesture, paying it forward. I think it means the world for folks. You have no idea how you could touch their heart and help those out in need. I think we should make a resolution for all of us to be more involved in the community, volunteer more often, give more freely. And I just want to say God bless everyone. I wish everyone an extraordinary new year in 2020. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you and speaking with you again next Sunday.